Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now this week, Weight Watchers, formerly known as Weight Watchers International, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. And that was in a bid to cut its debt after the hugely popular obesity drugs have entirely upended its business model. And Weight Watchers was once a byword for people who were trying to lose weight. And Donna Ferguson, who is a freelance journalist for The Guardian and Observer newspaper, has been looking at the story of Weight Watchers and why it appears that the drugs companies have finally tipped the scales against the company. Donna, you're very welcome to Down to Business.
Hi.
Now, there's women, Donna, of a certain age, and I'm one of them, who will be very familiar with the Weight Watchers concept, the product. And indeed, there was a time, I suppose, in Ireland and everywhere where you were either in it or you knew someone who was in it. But maybe for our younger listeners, just take us through what the actual model of Weight Watchers was and how popular it was in its time.
Right. Well, I mean, Weight Watchers dates all the way back to the early 1960s when an overweight woman, Jean Nidish, just felt utterly humiliated by having to be weighed by thin people, she said, and basically just decided that it would be better to get a support group of other women and men who were overweight and support each other through a weight loss program, which initially was just like a sort of board of health program. But the key thing was the meetings, was the community, was the support. And she actually held the meetings in like a loft in New York. And there were so many people queuing up for the first meeting that she had to run several meetings back to back that day. So she really, really was an amazing inspirational, motivational speaker. She encouraged people who'd been through the program and succeeded to become coaches, and it grew from there. So there was a sense that for the first time you could talk openly about your struggles with, you know, they called it overeating and, you know, being overweight. And there would be sympathy and empathy and people who'd been there and done that. So that was really, that was what the programme was all about. And it changed over the decades. It was, you know, it's based on calorie counting, but with a nutritional element in, so that foods which are nutritionally dense, so nutritionally better for you, you sort of pay fewer points to eat those. So it's a points-based system. You have a certain amount of points a week that you can spend. And the more expensive food is like junk food, whereas the cheaper points food is food that's nutritionally good for you and lower in calories.
Mm. You mentioned, Donna, that the company and the product itself changed over the years, selling its own, I suppose, brand and paraphernalia. And not everyone was in favour of, I suppose, the upselling that went on within the company. And it sometimes, I suppose, even dietitians didn't believe that the principle of calorie counting was a good one. So it did have its opponents, even in its heyday.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, the idea of it is that you can eat as much as you want within this framework, but you have to keep paying to access, for example, the app and that allows you to understand if you could scan in the barcode of a product, then it would translate that into points. But yes, and then there was all this merchandise around it, you know, their own branded meals and things like that. So it was a really big money-making company. And at the heart of it, though, was this community aspect. Mm. And I think that was very much derailed by the pandemic. You know, people had been going to these meetings for years in many cases. And sometimes it wasn't even, you know, it was like people would go and whether they'd lost weight or not, they were comforted by the people around them. They've met with their friends and then they kind of were energized for the week ahead. And without that community aspect, I think that was really difficult for them to get through the pandemic.
Mm. Yeah, just looking at the figures in your article, 5 million subscribers worldwide in 2020 was very significant for the company. I think their highest benchmark. But as you say, COVID and the community changed everything. So too, I suppose, did technology. But also, we see at this time the advent of these new weight loss drugs like Ozempic and things like that, which weren't, I suppose, dealing with the symptoms, but more dealing with the cause. How did that affect the Weight Watchers model?
Well, Ozempic is for people who are suffering from diabetes. And then there's these other GLP-1 medications, which are weight loss injections like Wegovy and Mount Jaro. And those injections, obviously, the principle is that they suppress your appetite. And that was not something that Weight Watchers was ever trying to do. So their view was you could eat as much as you want within, you know, these points, as long as you stuck to these points, but you could have, you know, lots and lots of lettuce if you wanted to, whatever. The idea was that you weren't hungry because you were eating as much as you wanted. So they don't, it doesn't, it's not really a plan that necessarily works with the idea of weight loss injections. But, and, you know, these weight loss injections, they are scientifically proven, they work, and the people find them much easier to stick to than diets because you're just not as hungry. And I think that that really did have an impact on Weight Watchers, because the people who were taking, who started, you know, perhaps being legitimately, you know, very much needing these weight loss medications, being prescribed them, buying them privately, and they were seen, according to one Weight Watchers coach that I interviewed, they were sort of seen as cheating by the people who weren't taking these weight loss drugs, who were struggling with, you know, hunger pangs and what they call food noise, where it's like, remind, you know, you're hungry, eat something, eat some chocolate, whatever. That created a division in the Weight Watchers community. And as I understand it, Weight Watchers even created, you know, even bought a sort of telehealth company that then it could prescribe these weight loss injections. So they were trying to kind of keep up with the changes in technology. And also they went digital. So, you know, you didn't need to go to meetings. They were trying to adapt, but it's just their basic model of meeting and having that community was just hit hard by all these different aspects. And, you know, the weight loss injections also ate away at that community aspect.
And you mentioned there that they tried to adapt and be agile and deal with what was coming, but obviously it hasn't worked because this week they filed for Chapter 11, and that was obviously to try and alleviate and deal with the debt. Just how much and how substantial was the debt that they have built up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously too much for them to actually carry. And they're reportedly struggling with like £1 billion of debt. It's been just a lot of troubles have hit the company.
Yeah, I mean, just a perfect storm for them, if you will. Just one final question, Donna, before I let you go. I mean, you mentioned, and as far as I'm aware, these GLP-1 drugs are to deal with people who are suffering with obesity and diabetes and things that affect their health badly. But what of those people who are just looking to lose a few pounds? They can't use these drugs, as I understand it. Is there a space for something like Weight Watchers to come into the market and maybe do what they were doing in a different way?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who are, you know, ex-Weight Watchers and people are coaches, you know, talking about things on social media. I mean, Weight Watchers is still, it still exists, and at the moment anyway, you know, saying there's not going to be any changes to their members. There's also Slimming World that's still going. So I think there are still places for people who are struggling with their weight and want that community aspect, aren't taking these drugs. As you say, they're not for people who are just trying to lose a few pounds. But I do think that, you know, it's important to remember that this, in a way, this is really sad because Weight Watchers has helped a lot of people. It really has helped a lot of people to transform their lives. And there are these amazing communities of mainly women supporting each other through difficult, you know, times of trying to lose weight in a culture where there's a lot of pressure to do that. And yet there's also a lot of tempting food out there. It's quite difficult to eat healthily. So I think, I think it is sad times. And the more support there is out there, the better. And there's also things like Zoe now, which I interviewed the co-founder of Zoe, Tim Spector. And, you know, he's saying that, you know, you can use a lot of science now to, for example, check what you should be eating within your gut, what's best for your gut health. And that can be kind of tailored and individually personalized. So things have moved on.
Yeah.
It's not just weight loss drugs that are new technology. There's also other ways that anyone who wants to lose weight can access.
Absolutely. And it's a very complex problem that many thousands of people are dealing with, but also a multi-billion dollar industry on the back of it. Donna, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. That was Donna Ferguson, freelance journalist with The Guardian and Observer newspaper.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.